Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, everybody. All right, thanks for tuning in on the Sunday night. Wow, end of the weekend. This is Chef Stuardo, and welcome to Foodomania meets Quarantinomania. All right, I hope everybody had a good day today. The weather was quite lovely, and it was nice to see people getting out and walking around, doing their bikes and working. A lot of good social distancing happening. And people really paying attention, which is a good thing. And there was, you know, there's standard amount of people who were just winging it a little bit. But, you know, what it really boils down to is you just protect yourself and do the best you can. Some people will get it and some people won't. But, you know, we talk about that in every show because we just want to maintain having fun and being excited about switching into the next phase 2 in most cases, but being safe. And I've gotten a whole bunch of emails today from different people who listen to the show, food workers, who are happy about the fact that they're going back to work. And I'm happy for y'all, too, for the ones that want to and go back to work part-time in a lot of cases, because some places are basically reducing their staff. And what's been happening, instead of not hiring everybody, they're trying to bring everybody back, but they're cutting everybody's hours back, which also allows them to still collect some unemployment. So it's kind of a, you know, win-win situation in the sense that some people go back to work, have some income, and the people that this affects a lot, are, especially with sit-down dining, you know, are the wait staff and the bartender staff and the busboys and girls, and just that those tips, you know, they add up. If you have a busy place, you know, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars a night, which in most cases, a lot of the wait staff and a lot of the bartenders basically work for minimum wage, and then the tips are really how they make the bulk of their money. So I remind you all to be generous when you're going to go out to start dining, and even when you're doing takeout. And a lot of people are really lovely about that they tip. It really helps. Usually 15 to 20% is a good thing. And I would keep it closer to the 20. I mean, if you really, honestly, if you can afford to go out to eat. I see some people who are still ordering takeout. It's been 2.5 months, and they're doing takeout 3 nights a week. One customer specifically, when the restaurant was open, he and his family or whatever came in literally almost every night. And spent a good amount of time there and really supported the restaurant. They've been really great about continuing to support it with takeout. But we're talking about huge dollars. I mean, literally $100 a day. And everybody can afford to do that. But when you do treat yourself and you decide to go after that enjoyable thing called socializing with a distance, make sure you take care of everybody in a good way. Well, a lot of stuff going on over the weekend. More protests continuing, as you probably have heard of. A lot of announcements about testing for people who are doing the protests. And we're encouraging everybody to figure out a way to call the health department and let them know what you've been doing. And go in and get a test. For a couple of reasons. This way you'll know. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are possibly positive, but they don't know if they have any symptoms. And some people are just carriers. They might not ever get sick, but they certainly can carry it around for a while. So for all of us, that would be a great help to continue that process, to continue to stay at home when you can do it. And don't take any of this for granted, folks. We're going to have, a much better future if we all just pay attention to it. And of course, there are talks of some surging happening in certain areas, and that's totally because of the things like demonstrations and big gatherings. People go into lakes. Saw some local photographs from somebody who filmed some people at one of our local lakes. A lot of people there. The parking lot was almost not even enterable. And I thought that the Parks Department locally were going to monitor parking lots and making sure that people come and, you know, cutting back some of the numbers. There's a big tourist attraction close by here where people will walk over the Deception Pass Bridge, which is just sort of a thing that thousands upon thousands of people a week do. And it's tight enough to just go on regular situations, so imagine trying to keep distance. All these different things to think about. So I'm mentioning some of the ones that come right out, just mainly so people could absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, have the ability to be a little safer. That's what I say. All right. So we got some really, really good feedback from people on the earlier show today of things that they were cooking for their Sunday dinner. And by this time, people have had it, and they're probably getting close to almost calling it a night for some of the people that are excited about, almost like little kids going back to school for the first time or going to camp or something. So much excitement about certain people I know who are actually going back to their regular jobs tomorrow. Of course, there'll be some changes, but I'm just so happy that we've been able to be all together for the last 96 shows. We'll keep doing it because I plan on being in the studio and doing 2 shows a day. I am doing some different work right now. I'm not going to be going back to my chefing position anytime soon. And that's a personal choice. Specifically for, you know, most of the, you know, months of June and July. We'll see what happens when we get to August. But I am doing some beautiful food situations out of my home right now and experimenting with some different things and taking on a little bit of private chefing and private catering, which I love to do. And it's safe, and it puts me in a situation where I don't have to risk some exposure, as I am in, unfortunately, that category of being a little older and also having a couple of physical problems that never bothered me at all as far as going to work and working really hard. But unfortunately, when you add the virus into it, not a safe situation for me to necessarily be in public and small places where the public is going to be coming in and out. So I'm working out of here. And also the studio is doing good. I'm taking on a whole bunch of, extra time in here, which is great. And it's given me a chance to work on some of my own projects, which I'm really excited about. Specifically, two films that I've been working on for a long time. And specifically, one that I started shooting in the beginning of March. And I'm still doing some cover shots, a little bit more photography. And then there'll be the interview process. And it's going to be a really, really great, I say great. I think it'll be very interesting to be able to experience the last 3 months in about, I think it's under 20 minutes, about 17 minutes long. And it just chronicles the life and existence of food workers during the pandemic, when people had gone from working these ridiculous hours, just really getting up to gear in the beginning of March. You know, winter is kind of hiding behind the clouds, and a lot of people are, we're actually starting to prepare and get ready for the winter that has passed, and just, basically making the transition into spring. And so many things were put on hold, like the Tulip Festival and different harvests and certain things that were going on, some other real incredible street fairs and special things that would have brought some festivals to the rest of people to, because of the festivals, bring people to the restaurants that had to shut down so quickly. And so time has been kind of morphed around and moved around, and now it's starting again, and it's already second week, starting the second week of June, which is just so hard to believe. This first week is just about over. It is over. and week two starts tomorrow. So, you know, it's going to be a very interesting transition. You know, you don't expect to see everything completely back at the same level, but we'll just keep our fingers crossed and keep being safe and supporting each other. Now, the same thing, we talked all about the food stuff, but there's a lot of little retail shops that are starting to open. I'm excited for them, the ones that were survived by this. And unfortunately, some of us will notice a few of our favorite places are no longer open and probably will not reopen. But this is unfortunate choices that people made. But I always feel like something will be better. Something comes that's better. I know somebody who's had the same store open and closed about over the last 20 years, I think 3 or 4 times. And what happens is when they decide to close, they have a sale and they get a lot of their inventory sold. And then they box up and freeze bag. You know, they have these bags that you put clothing in that are basically airtight containers that will preserve those clothes perfectly. You know, keep the moths out, keep the fabric and stuff from deteriorating. So they'll do that. And then a year or two might pass. Maybe they'll do some little garage sales and things to keep things going and some trading of different things, and then they'll get the bug to start doing it again. So they'll open up a little table at the farmer's market, maybe, and then that will morph into another shop. There are a few places that have come available, and so there's also, you know, when these things happen, there's always the opportunity of people who are in a position to maybe start a new business and probably be able to get in on the ground floor, maybe economically in a way they might not have been able to do it under normal circumstances. So my feeling is send all our love and all our support to the people that are hurting from this business-wise and work-wise, and support each other through it. And that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. All right, let's play a little bit of music, and I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Here comes the sun, I say it, it's alright.
All right, George Harrison. Thank you, George. I love that song. And looks like we're going to get a little bit of rain overnight, but we are going to get some of that sun tomorrow, which is fantastic. You know, I was really watching some different things over the last couple of weeks. You know, some of the good shows, a lot of people have been binging, and I get a chance to do it when I can. And sadly for me, I don't stay up. I don't last too long. I just don't. I do my best to, but I'm good for about maybe a half hour, no matter how much sleep I've gotten, no matter what time of day it is. Watching any kind of movie or any kind of TV is a natural sleeping pill for me. It's always been that way. But that being said, one of the really cool things that I saw, which I just highly, highly recommend, and if you haven't seen it before, it's a show called Schitt's Creek. And it's something that it took me a while to actually see this show. In the beginning, it was on for a couple of seasons. And if you're a big fan of, like, Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, and it's something that you really, really, really would love. It's bittersweet, but it's funny as heck. And it's going to a third season now. I think it might be the end of the show. I'm not sure. But if you want to take a little break, watch Schitt's Creek. And the other one that I really liked, and this is so funny, a show that just came out on Netflix, and I think there's 10 episodes or something, and it's called Space Force. You know, I love comedies. I mean, they're really good. I don't know why, for me, it just takes a lot to get me. I laugh inside. Let's put it that way. I'm not so much of an outward laugher. I don't know why. I've never really been. So when I see people laugh or I hear people laugh sometimes under my breath or inside, I'm just going, not that funny. Maybe it's funny. Ha, ha, ha. But I'm learning how to laugh more. And, you know, comedy has been a big thing to me my whole life, especially growing up in the Borscht Belt. Every summer going to the Catskill Mountains, and just like you see in the movies, probably the most famous one movie was, the one with Patrick Swayze, which is, one of his favorite movies, the one that takes place in upstate New York when he is a dancer. And you know the one? The first person that can text me and let me know the name of that movie would be great. Of course, you know it. I'm just kidding. But, in that movie, which was based on, just exactly what, used to happen up there. It was a place where a lot of people, Eastern Europeans would go there for the summer. It's still the same way. And there's just, something about this place that, all the famous comedians starred in that. Up there, they started their careers, Jerry Lewis, I mean, all the old-fashioned comedians, everybody can think of. But Dirty Dancing movie was sort of took place through that thing, and you had a little, during the show, you had some of the typical master ceremonies, and you had the lifeguard, and it was just a big deal. And a lot of comedians who eventually became pretty famous did the Borscht Belt, but there were a lot that I think, in my opinion, were funnier and more talented than some of the ones that we've grown to love that just never made it. Usually, in those days, if you got the job as a MC, so master of ceremonies, your gig every day was maybe to do a little bit of show, but it's usually based around dinner time. You go, hello, everybody doing AC? Oh, you're still here, that kind of joke. Or, hey, who's that handsome young man next to you? Who's going to turn 90 next week, I heard, that kind of humor. But during that movie and just that, period of time, it evoked a lot of, customs and things from the past that were really, really, they kind of stick in your brains. And so with that said, some of these episodic, comedies is just like standard fare for just like it's sort of the roots of your comedy. So this show called Space Force with just Steve Carell is basically the star of it. And it was, just an idea that probably, from what I read, got started just as a spinoff of what that fearless, you know, well, let's not call this person fearless. I don't try. I'm kind of like Whoopi Goldberg. She never mentions this person's name. I try not to either. But based on an idea that he had, that it should be Space Force. And it's our new thing because space is important. Well, anyway, they did. I don't know how fast they worked on this, but they put together a really comedy that's, I think it's 10 parts, funnier than heck. John Malkovich is the co-star of it. Steve Carell, just, you know, one of those really, really, you know, just the comedy is sight gags, but it has a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, you know, funny, you'd say sarcastic humor, but then, you know, bittersweet. You know, it's just, it's really worth watching. And like I said, sometimes, you know, laughing doesn't, you know, doesn't come that easy. Excuse me. But when it does, this is one of those things that really you could laugh. And our dear love, who sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago, Fred Willard is in it. He plays Steve Carell's father. Steve Carell now plays the head of the Space Force, like a general head of the Space Force. But Fred Willard makes a beautiful, just a beautiful short run as his dad, who actually his character is kind of supposed to be senile. So you can imagine how much fun joking is back and forth. And that was, you know, I'm glad that it came out now and it was released literally within a couple of days of him passing. So the show is dedicated to him. I highly recommend it. There's some good stuff out there. Stuff that's, you know, I'm into some of these incredible music documentaries that were, you know, just basically things that you've always heard about. Maybe you didn't want to see it or you didn't have time. Echoes of the Canyon is one that I really believe you'd really, really love. And it's basically the story sort of pretty much about, it really primarily about the days between about 1966 and 1970. Now there's two different documentaries that exist right now on Laurel Canyon. This one's called Echoes in the Canyon. It's pretty much primarily the Jacob Dylan, Bob Dylan's son, is pretty much the protagonist and takes you through, decided to do a little bit of history and cover some of the great songs from that period of time, from the Byrds and the Mamas and Papas and Jackson Browne and stuff. And there's some really good interviews, and one of the last pieces of interview and film that Tom Petty did. And just lovely. And, you know, I lived in that area during that period of time. And I really, I was there maybe a year and a half after this, you know, time period that movie is really based on. But it still had the same feeling, and I worked in the music business. So I got to run into some of the people that are talked about in this movie. And I was just 21 years old at that period of time. Now, there's another two-part series that you can find on Epics. It's called Laurel Canyon, Part 1 and Part 2. And it's more of a documentary, actually. Instead of doing an up-to-date concert, it's just really a documentary in that period of time. Why that complete accidental combination of all these great people ended up coming there from all over the country, because people wanted to come to California and get into the music business. And the people that drifted their way up into this canyon, starting with Joni Mitchell, David Crosby, the Monkees in the early days. You know, the Monkees were actually pretty cool on a lot of levels. A young guy named, just a really cool young guy named Jackson Browne, who's just a really young guy. And eventually that led to these two guys that met, well, actually two guys that met at a club one day. One was from Texas, and one was from Southern California, by the name of Glenn Frey and Don Henley. And the beginning of the Eagles right there. John Phillips and the Mamas and Papas, just sharing all their song ideas and working together. You had Bonnie Raitt, earliest days right there. Somebody named Chris Williamson, Joel Tepp. Great studio musician, incredible guy. The early days, Linda Ronstadt. So all those people are incredibly talented, and I'm sure many of you out there listen to the music. If you want to get just a nostalgic, enjoyable thing, so it's Echoes of the Canyon, which is a concert with a bunch of different newer artists playing people's music from Laurel Canyon, and then Laurel Canyon Part 1 and Laurel Canyon Part 2 on Epics, and I recommend both of those. Space Force, of course, Schitt's Creek. That's the summary of the report. All right, we're about to wrap it up for the night. I'm just happy that you guys tuned in. It gives me a chance to just blabber away at this time of night. I'll be going out and seeing how the plants I put in the ground are. I have my greenhouse lit up right now, and the garden's lit up, and it's a bit windy, and we're supposed to get a little bit of rain in a couple hours, but it was just a really good feeling to finally get caught up on a bunch of things. And I actually put the pumpkins in the ground today too. This is the first time I've ever done it, so we're actually a little bit late, but the first week of June I think is pretty good. In the past I've put them in, I've got inspired to put pumpkins in like in August. Now you can do it, but the chances of you keeping it going and getting it some jack-o'-lantern by Halloween is 50-50. But I have a lot of hope this year that I figure I have most of June, July, August, September, and October. So I got 4.5 months to make these pumpkins happen. I haven't had a good pumpkin crop in about 3 years, so this year hopefully I will. This year's tomatoes, I really didn't go as totally crazy as I normally do, but I'm trying some different tomatoes. Of course, the San Marzanos. But this year I'm doing some heirlooms, and there's one that people, different chefs have been talking to me about. It's called a chocolate sprinkle tomato. And it's an heirloom, and it's sort of a very dark maroon with little speckles in it and stuff. The flavor is amazing, and I've had these a couple of times. And I, you know, my purpose is to basically grow enough tomatoes to make enough sauce for about 100 pieces to last this year. And I still have a few bags from a year ago in the freezer. My San Marzano is beautiful, and I'm going to have off to a good start this year, so I will be hosting that those, you know, beautiful tomatoes and turning them into good, delicious food as well. Hey, what the heck else? You know, it's hard for me not to be able to cook for people every day. I really miss it. So I'm doing it at home. I'm doing it for some private people. And as people get a little better, I'll have some social distancing pizza parties in my yard this summer. And I can't wait for those. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you need any information from me, you can write me at Chef Stuardo, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O @hotmail.com. And I will be happy to send you recipes and any summaries of anything. Remember also, this show is a podcast that can be listened to anytime. And the first time it will be available is in about 10 minutes from now at the end of the show. So give it 10 or 12 minutes, and if you want to listen to it again or you missed part of it, you can go back and listen to the whole thing. Or do me a favor and do something really good and share it with some people you know. I've never monetized my show, but I'm going to spread the word as much as I can, and it's free programming for everybody. Yay! All right. Tomorrow's another day. I'll speak to you guys at 10 a.m. I'll be right here. Good night.